Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. And we've got a lot happening, a lot underway as we follow President Biden as he meanders through Europe right now. What a mess that is. I'm not even sure the president is aware that he's left the country. By the way, reporters are now asking on foreign soil about updates regarding the cocaine situation that happened last week in the Oval Office. In the West Wing. We will bring that information to you a little bit later on in the program as well. Is it not odd that the Secret Service, ladies and gentlemen, they have announced to all of us, the peoples of America, that this is just a head scratcher. They can't figure out whose cocaine that was. Much like they still can't figure out who dropped off the pipe bombs outside the RNC and the DNC headquarters on J6, a day that will live in infamy. Now, they don't know who did it. They don't know. They don't have a clue. Anyway, we'll get into more of that. Our good friend Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, is going to drop by. Also giving us an update and some breaking news he's going to share on the arrest of the whistleblower in the Biden family crime syndicates scandal. It's just mind-blowing what's happening. Also, big FBI hearing this week. And the big question is what's going to happen with the new FBI headquarters? And Jim Jordan has a few thoughts about that. We're also going to be taking your calls as well, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, there's something a-brewing in the great state of Iowa, the Hawkeye State. Ha! Ha! Big controversy involving – no, Dylan, that was a hawk. That was the Hawkeye – anyway. Bob Vanderplatz is very prominent in the Christian community there in Iowa. They do a big event every year, the Family Leader, and they have the conferences, and all of the candidates on the Republican side are obligated to go to this thing. You know, it's interesting, never been. In all my years of covering politics, never been to that one event. But anyway, they say Bob Vanderplatz is a very big deal in Iowa. And the thinking is that if Bob Vanderplatz says you're not going to be the guy, you're not going to be the guy, and that includes Donald Trump. So anyway, there's a controversy that has erupted. Last night, we got word that that Glenn Beck and his team over at The Blaze are going to be hosting a forum with Tucker Carlson this coming weekend in Iowa. And all the candidates have been invited, including President Trump. So to set the stage here, this is going to be hosted by Blaze Media. That's Glenn Beck. Tucker Carlson's going to be moderating the forum. And it is also going to be hosted by this leadership group, Bob Vanderplatz and his folks. So anyway, it's called the Family Leadership Summit. And Ron DeSantis is going to be there, Mike Pence, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Asa Hutchinson. I'm missing a name, right? I think I'm missing a name. And here's the reason why. It's President Trump. And President Trump is not slated to appear. By the way, Big Chris Christie is not either. And not sure why Christie's not going. But anyway, it's going to appear on a special episode of Glenn TV, and it's also being presented in conjunction with the Family Leader. That's Bob Vanderplatt's organization. And Trump is not going to be in attendance. So this is not an official debate. This is a forum. And by the way, latest Iowa poll that came out Friday, Trump is now leading DeSantis in Iowa by 23 points. 23 points. So why is it that Trump is not going to attend? He hasn't said, but I'm going to speculate here. So it turns out that Bob Vanderplatz does not want Trump to be the nominee. And I'm going to play some audio, and I want you to hear this for yourself so you can understand the president's possible thinking here. Cut number 8.
In the past, you have said, sir, that Republicans should not choose a nominee whose entire focus is payback for what happened in 2020. It sounds an awful lot like saying it should be anybody but Donald Trump.
Well, I stand by that comment. I think if we're going to have a conversation about what happened in the past or some vengeance about what happened in the past versus about a compelling vision for the future, we're going to get beat in 2024. I think America's exhausted by it. I think they're tired of it. I think they want to turn the page to the next generation leader, someone who's got a compelling vision that might unite America around things that actually bless America.
All right. So the issue now is Trump's catching all this fire from the pro-DeSantis team. And by the way, it certainly looks like some of these evangelical leaders in Iowa are leaning to or breaking for DeSantis. So the issue here is that they're going after Trump now. Well, he's refusing to debate. Well, first of all, it's not a debate. It's a forum, and it's hosted by an organization that does not like Donald Trump. So why would Donald Trump go and be a part of an event where there's going to be a great big target on his back? I'm going to answer that question in just a moment, but this is the thinking here. Here's Bob Vanderplatt, cut number 9.
Can anyone beat Donald Trump if they don't take him on directly?
Well, we're going to find out in the state of Iowa. I think Iowa is that crucial this time, Leland. I think Iowa is very open to finding an alternative to Trump, to find out who's best prepared, not just to win the primary, but to win the entire thing, to win the general election and become president of the United States. So the former president's going to have to make that case to the people of Iowa by why he's still the one. And others are going to have to make a case why we need to turn the page.
All right. And then he goes on to ask and answer this question, cut number 10.
You just said Iowa is uniquely positioned to do this. Iowa is overwhelmingly more white than most of America is. It's overwhelmingly more evangelical conservative than most of America is. Why does that make it the right state to pick the Republican nominee who we know needs to win independents in Georgia and housewives in Pennsylvania?
Well, first of all, you have to take a look at Iowans. This is not their first rodeo. They're very politically savvy. They're not easily impressed. It's a retail politics state where you need to shake the hand, look somebody in the eye. And when you talk about the diversity of the state of Iowa, we're also a state that gave you Barack Obama, who beat Hillary Clinton. Iowans aren't colorblind. I mean, they will take a look at this thing and say, you know, who's the best prepared to take on, say, President Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Michelle Obama, whoever the Democrats put up, so that we can win in 2024. This is a chance for the former president to make his case, as well as the others to make their case.
All right. So, and he does have a point here that the good people of Iowa, they're not seeing this through the lens of race, of color, because they're the ones that gave us that great plague on our nation known as Barack Hussein Obama. Appreciate that, Iowa. So, look, here's the issue. Will the president debate? There is a train of thought here that Donald Trump is so far ahead of everyone else that there's really no need to debate. I am not in that category. I believe the president needs to get out there every single opportunity and go toe-to-toe with these people and put all of them in their place. That's what needs to happen. Look, I get it. Bob Vanderplatz and his group, they hate Donald Trump. That's great. You know what, Mr. President? You know, look, President Trump has gone toe-to-toe with everybody. I think he can certainly go toe-to-toe with the folks over at the Family Leader in Iowa. I really do. And I think that the president ought to go. I think he ought to go every time an invitation is extended to debate these people. I say go for it. And may the best man or Nikki Haley win. I'm just saying, may the best person win. But get out there and look, Trump doesn't have any obligation to do this, but I think he ought to. And I think it's going to make him a stronger candidate. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of people are going to see through some of these other candidates out there and realize that Donald Trump is the only person that can take on the deep state once again. So I'm curious here. What do you think Trump ought to do? Should he go and be a part of the forum? Should he join the debates? 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, by the way, up and running, toddstearns.com. Lots of great content for you to check out there. We're going to go to your calls coming up next. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right. Should Donald Trump debate his fellow Republicans? 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. Let's go to the phones. We're going to start the day in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Jerry, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention, I think dodging Donald probably should debate these people. I don't think it's right that dodging Donald is going to skip the Fox News debates. I don't know why he's so afraid of Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. You're talking about him dodging the thing with Tucker Carlson and Glenn Beck. He's trying to dodge the trial with Jack Smith, you know, the documents trial. He's trying to put that off till after the election. I think we all know why that is. I just think that he's trying to, I don't know what he's afraid of. Is he afraid of, I mean, if he can't talk to Brett Baer and Tucker Carlson and that Martha McCallum, how's he going to talk to Putin and ping and end the war in one phone call in 24 hours?
Well, I would say he would probably do it the way he did it when he was president. Jerry, did the president dodge any of those people or those things when he was president?
He's dodging them now, and that's what makes the difference is what's happening now. Now he won't answer questions. Now he doesn't want to answer questions about why
he sat down with an interview with Brett Baer.
And he won't do it again. He was eaten alive by Brett Baer. He was eaten alive with Donald's own words. Donald Trump actually took a bow for the vaccine, and he said he saved millions of lives. And nobody's asked him yet why he hasn't fired. He couldn't put him out of the government, but why he didn't fire Fauci, why he gave Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Fauci the same medal. No, Donald Trump doesn't want to. He wants to dodge those questions. And that's why I call him Dodging Donald.
So I take it you're not a big Trump supporter, Jerry.
I voted for him in 2016, and I'll never do it again.
Really? So who do you like in the – I mean, are you going to vote Democrat?
No, I'm going to vote for somebody who can actually win the election, and it's Ron DeSantis.
I hear what you're saying here, but, I mean, you're looking at a guy, DeSantis, who's down 20 points to Trump in his own state of Florida. What do you make of that?
I make it that people have flocked to Donald Trump because he's been, and I agree that he's being persecuted. And I agree that a lot of what's being heaped on him is unfair. But The reason why everybody's, it's cheater's proof. Remember when you were a kid playing baseball and something would happen, somebody would foul off a ball and said, no, you swung and missed. No, I foul tipped it. And then you would throw the ball again and they would swing and miss and it was cheater's proof. This is cheater's proof. Everybody wants Donald Trump back to try and make up for what happened in 2020. And I do agree that the election was stolen. But Donald Trump has shot himself in the foot so many times, and all of the name calling and all of the dodging questions. And I don't know how he's going to end the Ukraine war if he can't talk to Brett Baer and Tucker Carlson.
Jerry,
he's got a record now.
Understand. I just don't understand Ron DeSantis. I don't know where the guy stands on the issues. That's my concern. With Donald Trump, you know where you stand with the guy. You may not like it, but at least you know where you stand with him.
Yeah, I agree that DeSantis isn't running the best campaign ever. I agree 100%. But I think he'll pull it out. I think the more Donald Trump talks, the more people like me he pushes away.
Okay.
And I think he's got the base all tied up, but the base isn't enough.
All right, Jerry. We hear you. And folks, Jerry from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, calls him Dodging Donald. What say you? Agree or disagree? 844-747-8868. Jerry, appreciate that call. Let's go to Victor in Maryland listening to us. Hi, Maryland. Victor, what say you?
Okay, that last caller sounded like a seminar caller. I didn't believe him voting for Donald Trump in 2016 at all. Okay, I believe that not only should Donald Trump debate whenever he can debate, but I would like to see him go into blue cities and blue states and have rallies there and see what kind of reaction he gets there. For example, go to Baltimore, talk about the high crime situation. They're talking about it all the time on WCBM about all the crime that's going on in Baltimore, and our governor is not doing a blasted thing about it. And then you got the mayor of Baltimore just sits on his fanny and doesn't do anything about the crime situation. So it would be nice if Donald Trump would come into Baltimore, for example, and say, this is what I'm going to do to stop crime.
I like this idea, Victor. So sort of do a blue state crime tour and hit. I'd love for him to come to Memphis and do that, where you've got a lot of blacks in Memphis that are jumping off of that Democrat plantation. As a matter of fact, next week they're having a huge meeting in one of the majority black suburbs, and they're starting their own Republican club. So I would love to see Trump come into a place like Baltimore or Memphis or some of these mid-sized, you know, blue cities and stir things up, take the fight directly to him. Is that what you're suggesting, Victor?
Exactly. I mean, he did it in 2016. He told the blacks, what do you have to lose? Just try me out. I can get results. And he did get results. It's the blacks that are just being brainwashed by the Democrats. Their model might as well be, be helpless so we can pretend to help you. Being blind, I've given up on the Democrat Party a long time ago because they don't do a damn thing for the blind.
Well, speaking of Democrats, Victor, this is coming in from Georgia, where Misha Maynor, who is a Democrat lawmaker, she is now leaving the Democrat Party, and she's leaving because her own party opposed her efforts on a school choice bill. And so now she is announcing that she is switching parties. She is now going to be a Republican. Again, this happening at the state capitol, the Georgia state capitol in Atlanta. She says, when I decided to stand up on behalf of disadvantaged kids in support of school choice, my Democrat colleagues did not stand by me. They crucified me. When I decided to stand up in support of safe communities and refused to support efforts to defund the police, they did not back me. They abandoned me. And she goes on to say, for far too long, the Democrat Party has gotten away with using and abusing the black community. Well, good for you, ma'am, and welcome. Welcome to the Republican Party. The newest member, Misha Maynor, African-American from the great state of Georgia. And I would like to hear from our black listeners in the Memphis area. Are you fed up? Are you fed up with all the promises coming from the Democrats that they never answer? 844-747-8868. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes. As soon as the show is over, I'm rushing over to Memphis International Airport, so I hope I get my regular TSA gal. She's very nice. Anyway, I'm heading to North Carolina. So all of you folks listening to us on WSJS, and we have a lot of listeners in Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Hickory, is it Hickory Hill? Hickory, North Carolina. We're going to be in town tomorrow night for a huge event. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is the Bold and Courageous Tour, and it's sponsored by the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be sharing a stage. Get this, Dylan, you're going to be jealous. You are envious, Dylan. I can already see it. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is going to be one of the speakers, and Nikita Koloff, the Hall of Fame professional wrestler. I hope he doesn't, like, do a DDT or something. I don't know. Isn't that like Ric Flair country anyway? That's what I was thinking. So it's going to be tomorrow night, 6 o'clock in Mount Airy. If you'd like information, go to ncfaithandfreedom.com. That's ncfaithandfreedom.com. So we're going to be doing a lot of events around the country leading up into the election next year, and the schedule's already filling up. But this is going to be held at Mount Airy Wesleyan Church. The event is free, but tickets are required for entry. So there's absolutely no reason for every one of our North Carolina listeners in that area to head on over there and hang out. Going to be a lot of fun. Again, ncfaithandfreedom.com. Where is this card? Yes. So yesterday I got a card, and this was a handwritten card from one of our listeners, and I wanted to read this to you. As a matter of fact, it's Barbara from North Carolina, and she listens to us on WHKP. Dear Todd, back last November, just before Thanksgiving, I won our daily biscuit by correctly answering a trivia question. The big bonus was getting to talk to you on air. Why, thank you. I'm blushing, Barbara. Anyway, we discussed our menu for Thanksgiving. It was a highlight of the year for me. The book was even better than descriptions I had heard. It was such a joy and blessing as I savored every page. You were such a blessing and source of encouragement to me. Your strong faith in God and strong stand for the truth brings hope as I listen to you on WHKP each day. I'm so thankful for the platform God has given you in Christ. Barbara. Barbara, thank you so much for that kind letter. And of course, folks, we love getting mail from you guys, and we might just read yours on the air as well. All right, I want to go to the phones. Christopher was kind enough to hang on through the break, listening to us on the great WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Christopher. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. It's great to talk to you.
Well, likewise.
First of all, I want to tell you, you knocked it out of the park when you were working there at Newsmax last week.
Well, thank you.
Did a great job.
Well, thank you. Had a good time. Great people there at Newsmax.
Yes, sir. My opinion is I don't think Donald Trump should do these debates, and the reason is he's a businessman. He's a salesman. You know, so let the other ones knock each other over the head and take on the winners, instead of wasting his time with the losers, the ones that aren't gonna make it. And I'll tell you what, if I was advising him, not like you can give Donald Trump any advice because he's going to do what he wants. I would say, you know what, every time they have a debate, he should have a rally the same day, same night, and see how many more people he pulls in than
you
the
see,
debate does.
You see, I like that. I mean, and look, I get it. I understand why Trump doesn't want to do this. And
well,
I don't.
There's no reason to. All they can do is throw arrows at him. And like I said, until they thin out the herd, you know, why fight against 10 people when you can just wait and take on the four that are actually going to be there in the end?
All right. Well, hear me out on this one, Christopher. Here's the reason why I think he should. And I don't think he needs to, but here's why I think he should. We need to see what these other folks are capable of doing. How do they handle themselves in a fight? Because if it's not going to be this go around, if Trump's going to be the nominee, then you better believe these folks are going to be back on the stage in 2028. And I want to see how they can conduct themselves in a street fight.
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone can stand up to Donald Trump in a street fight, to be honest with you.
Well, you had
he'll find a way.
Well, that's fair enough. Look, I hear you. It's people are going to be upset about this, but I understand where Trump is coming from. That being said, I still think he ought to show up. If nothing else, it'll be one heck of a show. I can tell you that much.
He's always entertaining.
Mm-hmm. All right, Christopher, thanks for those kind words, and thanks for watching us on Newsmax. That was a lot of fun. And we're getting ready. We're going to be having some news about Newsmax coming up very soon. But we're not done just yet. All right. Interesting story from Grand Traverse, Michigan. A group of teenagers there involved in a cherry festival parade. They're members of the pro-life group, and they got banned from the parade. They filled out all the paperwork. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. In years past, they had marched in this parade, but just mere hours before the start of the parade, they were told they could not march in the parade. We're going to be talking to the leader of the pro-life group in Grand Traverse, Michigan, in just a little while. Also, this story from Springfield, Illinois. Abigail Wheeler is a 16-year-old young lady. She is a member of the swim team that is hosted by the local YMCA, Springfield, Illinois. Write this down, folks. Springfield, Illinois, YMCA. Anyway, she was in the girls' locker room after a practice, and she noticed that there were a couple of men in the girls' locker room, and they were in the process of disrobing. They were naked. So she did what she was supposed to do. She alerted her coach, and the coach said, hey, what do you want me to do? There's nothing I can do here. They're transgender. They can go in there and do whatever they want to do. So a few weeks later, it was the YMCA's monthly meeting, and Abigail's parents brought their concerns about what happened to the monthly meeting of the YMCA. And again, the parents were told, well, there's really nothing we can do. Our hands are tied. The coach actually laughed when the girls said they had a problem changing in front of a naked man. So anyway, Abigail and a teammate decided they were going to stage a protest. So this is pretty brilliant. They put up signs in the girls' locker room saying biological women only and women's rights. I think this is a terrific idea. So the coach finds out about it, and he orders Abigail to get out of the swimming pool, and she was kicked off the team. She was kicked off the YMCA swim team, and then she was banned from the YMCA pool. Now, the YMCA is, of course, denying all of this, but who are you going to believe? The perverts who run the YMCA or this sweet, innocent 16-year-old girl and her friend? By the way, you know the charge, they charged Abigail with hate speech. That's what the YMCA did. So everybody's talking about, you know, rights these days. What about the rights of the 16-year-old girl? Do 16-year-old girls not have a right to dress in the privacy of a locker room without having grown men, perverted men, running around shaking their moneymakers? I mean, what about that? And by the way, Are we going to stand idly by as a radio audience and allow the YMCA of Springfield, Illinois, to bully and gaslight a teenage girl? So here's what I hope you do. I hope you Google the information and give them a call and let them know that you don't appreciate them harassing this little 16-year-old girl. Send them an email as well. We ought to clog up their emails. Unbelievable what's happening there at the YMCA in Springfield, Illinois. All right, moving back to politics here, we have got a doozy of a story, and I want to get to it this hour because we are slam-packed for the last 2 hours of the show. You are going to hear about another case of racism in Memphis, Tennessee. The last one involved this kid named Tyree Nichols, who was beaten to death at the hands of Memphis police officers. And those officers have all been arrested. They've been charged. It's a horrible, horrible story. So there was another incident a couple of weeks ago where a 21-year-old black kid was pulled over by a deputy sheriff. And the deputy sheriff gets out and has some sort of a conversation. We don't know why the stop was initiated. But what we do know is that there was an argument. And in the course of that argument, the 21-year-old put the pedal to the metal and dragged the deputy sheriff 100 yards on the pavement. 100 yards. Now, that's the length of a football field. And if you can imagine the pain and the horror going through that deputy's mind as he is being dragged along, quite frankly, dragged almost to death by this 21-year-old motorist. So the deputy, if you can imagine the scene, the guy just hits the gas, and the deputy is flailing. He is being dragged on the pavement. And so the officer is able to take out his service revolver and fire a shot, killing the driver. And the driver was killed, and the deputy sheriff was gravely injured and is still recovering from his injuries. Well, now the family's getting involved, and of course, the local media, they're reporting this story, and the way the local media here reports the story is really shameful, because by and large, the media here, not all, but a good many, are just leftist, and they don't like the police. They've all embraced, because many of them are young, and they've embraced the whole, you know, white man is the oppressor nonsense, and we've got all these activists here. But we've got a guy named Ben Crump, and he's basically an Al Sharpton wannabe. And so this guy is out there, and he's got the family. They had a big press conference yesterday, and they're portraying this young man as a saint. And they're conveniently ignoring the fact that he tried to kill a member of law enforcement. And the media, everybody's playing along here. So when this story hits the national news, which it should any day now, I want you to know there's more to the story. So here is Ben Crump, the Al Sharpton wannabe, speaking at a big press conference yesterday, cut one.
He was working to get his college degree, but then he also worked at Whole Foods.
Whole?
And as his sister and their family was telling us, he worked all the time. He worked overtime. He was always trying to help his mother and their family. That was the young man who he was. And not that it matters, but he had no criminal history. He had no jaded past. This was a kid simply trying to get home. How many times, Memphis, are we going to hear these narratives of young black boys simply trying to get home, being so close to home? But yet, the people who are supposed to protect them are the ones who kill them. How many more, Memphis? How many more?
You know, he goes on to call this guy, the kid, an exemplary young man. But you know what he forgot to mention in all of this? He forgot to mention or explain why the exemplary young man was dragging a deputy sheriff through the streets of Memphis, Tennessee. So now they're calling for all of these investigations, and you got all the civil rights leaders coming back to town. The Al Sharpton wannabe is here. flying in and got the big bazillion-dollar suits on, the whole nine yards. The family of the dead kid is surrounding them. What about the deputy sheriff? The deputy sheriff who nearly got killed. The deputy sheriff who had to undergo multiple surgeries. Where's the press conference for the deputy sheriff? Where are the attorneys standing up for the family of the deputy sheriff? Where are all of the preachers? Why are they not out there standing in solidarity with the deputy sheriff, whose only crime here was doing his job? It angers me when the media is trying to force a narrative onto the national stage that they know is a lie. Now, we're going to follow this one, and we're going to find out. I don't believe they've released the name of the deputy sheriff, and rightfully so, because they'll have people trying to attack the poor man's family. But this is appalling, and you need to be aware of this. And how many times have we been down this path? Oh, they're just all good and decent boys, and they just love their mothers, and they were going back to school and getting their life together, and they did not deserve this. Well, you know what? A deputy sheriff didn't deserve to be dragged through the streets of Memphis. I mean, this is unbelievable. Because in essence, what they're saying is this, that the deputy sheriff got what he was asking for. And people want to know why law enforcement, they don't like pulling people over anymore. You got people doing donuts in the middle of the interstate and they're not pulling over the driver. You know why? Because they don't want to be accused of being a racist. There is an ongoing war on police and law enforcement in this country. And I would just like one elected leader somewhere in America, anybody here in Memphis, Tennessee, just to stand up and say, you know what? Enough is enough. We're standing up for what is right. It is a terrible tragedy what happened to that young man. But had he just followed the instructions of the deputy sheriff, he would be alive and the deputy sheriff would not be in a hospital. It's really that simple. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. By the way, what did that attorney say? He said that the guy worked at a hose food. What exactly kind of food do they sell there? Carrots? I don't know. Eggplants? Goodness. Maybe it's a vegetarian store. Hose food. By the way, Wyatt Cox from the Nevada Talk Network. I am incredibly triggered by what he just sent me. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, apparently it is National Eat Your Jell-O Day. So, I am triggered. Remember that crazy story? I was in the hospital for about a week, and that was all they were serving. That was the only thing I was allowed to eat was Jell-O. And it was not the, it was sort of, and it wasn't even like the J-E-L-L-O Jell-O. It was like generic Jell-O, which basically tasted like gelled water. It was horrible, just horrible. Anyway, I have bad memories now. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking to Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary. So I'm going to tease a part of this story. Congressman Jordan believes we need to relocate the FBI. And the big problem is the culture of the FBI and the deep state being in Washington, D.C. So he's proposing that we move the FBI from Washington, D.C. and relocate it to Huntsville, Alabama. And I'm loving this idea. Huntsville, by the way, very nice city. My question, first of all, do you people in Huntsville, Alabama, want the FBI relocating to your town? And America, what do you think about that? Relocating some of these government agencies out of the nation's capital. Is that a good idea? 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Want to give an alert to our North Carolina listeners heading over to your neck of the woods later today. I'll be speaking tomorrow at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Big, Bold, and Courageous Tour. It's going to be a lot of fun. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is going to be there, Hall of Fame wrestler Nikita Koloff, and yours truly will be in the squared circle talking politics. That's going to be held in Mount Airy at the Wesleyan Church there. So that's tomorrow, 6 o'clock. The event is free. You got to have a ticket, though, but go to ncfaithandfreedom.com. That's ncfaithandfreedom.com, and I'm sure Grace can put all that information on our live show blog if you would like more information. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Chairman of House Judiciary, and a great wrestler in his own right, Congressman Jim Jordan.
Washed up has been is probably more accurate. Time. Good to be with you. Hope you had a great fourth last week. Good to be with you.
I did, and it's always great to have you on the show. I want to start off, though. You got a lot of folks in Huntsville. Tongues are wagging over this report. So you want to move the FBI to Huntsville, do you?
Well, I mean, look, they want a new headquarters, and what we're saying is we actually had staff members actually take a tour down there. They got 20 of 30 of their divisions already there. They, frankly, are already consider it a second headquarters. So, for goodness sake, we don't need to be spending a boatload of taxpayer money building the FBI, the same FBI that called parents terrorists, who said if you're a pro-life Catholic, you're a radical, you're an extremist, who's retaliated against whistleblowers who come and talk to us about those issues, and who was just cited in that wonderful opinion last Tuesday, July 4th, from the Western District of Louisiana that said the FBI was engaged in the censorship effort of Americans. We really don't want American tax dollars going for a new building here in the D.C. area. So we thought maybe we should explore this possibility instead.
I love the idea, and I'm wondering, what kind of feedback are you guys getting?
Well, there was talk of this before, moving agencies out of D.C. out with real Americans, away from the so-called swamp. And so there's been talk of doing this before. And they even tried it, I think, with the Department of Interior, I think, moving to out west where, the federal government owns most of the land out west. It's crazy. So it's not a real new concept. And one I think maybe would give better accountability to these agencies for the American taxpayer.
You see, I love this idea. You know, when I was starting out in journalism, I got some really good advice. They said you need to start at a small town newspaper where everybody knows everybody. The people people you report on, you have to go to church with, and it really sort of builds this accountability. And I followed that advice. I think I was a better journalist in years later years because of that.
Well, of course. Yeah, someone said there's also an airstrip down there so that when the director needs that private plane that he uses to fly everywhere, he can land there too. Someone said.
There you go. It's a big meeting. Speaking of the FBI, everybody's wondering what's going to happen and what do you want to hear from the FBI this week at the hearings?
Well, I think we're going to bring up that, but understand that the main thing right now is this Congress, the appropriation process is coming up, and there are a number of limitations we want to put on the way the Justice Department can spend taxpayer money. Frankly, we think they should get less money, not to harm the vast majority of the agents who are doing good work, but the people at the top, there should be just some less money going there, and then there should be restrictions. For example, anyone involved, you shouldn't be able to use American tax dollars in these various federal agencies to label American speech misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, all these labels they now have for basically attacking Americans' First Amendment free speech rights. This was central to the judge's ruling last Tuesday. So the appropriations process is real important. We're going to focus on that. And then, frankly, they're trying to reauthorize Section 702 of the FISA program, and there is no way we're going to be for reauthorizing that in its current form. So there'll be a lot of questions on that, and of course, the concerns we've seen about and things we've witnessed from the FBI relative to parents, relative to Catholics, relative to the retaliation against whistleblowers.
In all aspects of this, I mean, we're looking at what was, quite frankly, a state police apparatus now. It reminds me of something out of East Germany during the Cold War.
Yeah, no, it's scary. And then when you, maybe what's frightening, most frightening, is when you're an agent or someone in the government that comes forward as a whistleblower, what happens to you, the retaliation you face? I mean, like this Gary Shapley, who was a 14-year veteran of the IRS, comes and tells us important information, handled some of the biggest tax evasion, tax fraud cases, international tax fraud cases, and he comes forward and talks to us about what was going on in the Biden investigation, and the DOJ kicks him off the case, kicks him off the investigation. Well, that's a problem. And then we have Garrett O'Boyle, who came and talked to us about a number of these issues, and they take his clearance, they take his pay, they even take his kids' clothes because they wouldn't let him get access to his belongings when they moved him across the country because they had selected him for this new position. And in that time frame, they find out, oh, he's been talking to Congress. They wouldn't even let him get his children's belongings, for goodness sake. That's how bad it gets. So, yeah, all those subjects are going to come up in tomorrow's hearing, I think.
Any guidance? Are you hearing anything from House Oversight on the latest developments with the whistleblower over there? Was Dr. Gal Luft? And the FBI, of course, says he has this incriminating evidence, and now all of a sudden he gets whacked.
He gets charged. I thought Chairman Comer made a good point. He gets charged with a FARA violation. You know, this is the registration for if you're going to lobby for a foreign entity. He gets charged with that, but they don't even think about doing that with Hunter Biden. It's just a tax issue that comes up with Hunter Biden, and only for certain years. So. I think, again, it shows why, what is it now, 40%, over 40% of the American people think there is a double standard at the Justice Department. And Todd, they think that because there is.
It's a fair point. And then just take a look at what's happening at the White House, where regardless of whose cocaine that is, that's a crime scene right now in the White House. And it seems as though there's a cover-up underway. What are you hearing about the cocaine?
Well, you would think that when Karine Jean-Pierre goes out to do the press briefing, she could at least say, well, we know it's not the Biden, it's not the first family. But they won't even say that. I think they give some, like, I think maybe they reference the Hatch Act or something. It's like, you would think they could answer that fundamental question, but they won't even comment on that. And I guess supposedly the investigation is supposed to be wrapped up sometime this week. I mean, I don't know. I guess you can just predict when it's going to be wrapped up, even though they don't seem to know what's going on. So I don't know. Just one of the many things we now see from this administration that make absolutely no sense.
The level of corruption and it's just unbelievable. And you're right. I think the American people, Congressman, they look and they say, wait a second. You know, if there's an average citizen driving around with some cocaine in his pickup truck, that guy's going to jail. Somebody doesn't pay his taxes to the tune of maybe even $25,000 or $50,000, they're going to be doing some jail time. And meanwhile, the Biden administration, they get a pass here, and specifically the family.
Yeah, no, it's not supposed to be that way in the greatest country ever. It's supposed to be equal treatment under the law. I think last fall there was a survey where 4 out of 5 Americans said they think there's a two-tiered system of justice. And it's not supposed to operate that way in our country. So that's the big concern. That only changes if the Congress of the United States forces the executive branch, the Department of Justice, to do things differently. And that's why we're so focused on the appropriations process and those limitations that I talked about and others. And then, of course, stopping the reauthorization of this 702 program in the FISA, because that's the program they used to scrutinize, illegally scrutinize Americans 204,000 times. They illegally searched that database on American people. That's wrong.
So I'm just curious. You're back to the FBI headquarters. That process. So you guys decide, yeah, we want to relocate to Alabama. What process has to happen? What's the next step for that to happen?
Well, it'd have to pass the House, pass the Senate, be signed by the president to move the headquarters there. And right now the path that they're on is to build a new headquarters in either Virginia or Maryland here in the D.C. area. We're like, the speaker's been clear. We've all been clear on the, as Republicans on the committee, that we're not for that in any way, shape, or form. We're like, okay, if you need some space, some different space, there's tons of space in Huntsville, Alabama. Like I said, they already view that as a second headquarters even now. So if you got to move somewhere, move there. But we're not giving you more money for a new building. It's just not going to happen with the Republicans in control of the House of Representatives.
I'm glad to hear that. And again, the power of the purse strings, they're controlled by the Republicans. All right, Congressman, we're going to be watching tomorrow. Ought to be one heck of a day up on Capitol Hill.
Great. Thanks, Todd. Take care, brother.
All right. There you go, folks. Congressman Jim Jordan. Big day on Capitol Hill tomorrow. The FBI Director Christopher Wray is going to be testifying. We're going to try to get to the bottom of a lot of this stuff. It is such a corrupt organization. And you feel for the rank and file, but there is so much rot. You almost have to rebuild the entire FBI. And I like this idea of moving the FBI out of Washington, D.C., outside of the Beltway, and moving it to, you know, to a state like Alabama. I think that's a terrific idea. All right, we're going to take a break here. What say you? You heard Congressman Jordan and his explanation. Whether it's not going to happen under the Biden administration, but if we get Trump in there next year, that's going to happen. And quite frankly, it's not the only government agency that needs to get booted out of D.C. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phones. John in Kentucky has a thought about the new FBI headquarters. Hi, John. So you heard the congressman, and he's a big fan of Huntsville, Alabama. Uh-huh. What say you?
No, because it would ruin the beauty of Huntsville, Alabama. I have two perfect locations, Todd. First of all, how about Diego Garcia, the air base in that little tiny island in the U.S. territories? Or we can move them to Antarctica. What do you think, Todd? Great comment. God bless you, Todd.
Thank you. yes, as far away as humanly possible, I suppose. I'm not too sure about Antarctica, but maybe Alaska. Would Anchorage want them? I don't know. I do not know. By the way, have you been paying attention to America's Got Talent? I love that show. That's sort of like my, that's how I unwind. And it reminds me that, first of all, we do have some talent across America, but mostly we don't. But it is thoroughly entertaining, nevertheless. But these folks, guys and gals, they brought down the house. This is the 82nd Airborne, and they were auditioning for America's Got Talent. And, well, let's just take a listen to what happened.
Colts, attention! Airborne! Hopeburg, haunt! There.
Oh, wow.
They're marching on stage.
Time marks! Woo! There. Course, halt! Take her, haste! Hold up.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Tell us about the group, please.
We are the 82nd Airborne Division All-American Corps. We hail from North Carolina. We represent the 19,000 men and women that support and serve the Airborne Division.
This is amazing. So I'm really curious. So obviously this is what you do full time. So what's the big dream then coming on the show?
We are here to win.
Oh, wow.
All right.
I love that. Who are you doing this for?
So we wanted to dedicate this performance. Last week, we lost one of our soldiers, Specialist Elijah Crawford. So we're dedicating this performance to him and all of the soldiers that have passed before him. I told myself I wasn't going to. But yes.
That is very respectful.
Thank you.
Really sorry, by the way.
Thank you.
Really sorry. We're all rooting for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Poland! Get ready.
Go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All the way.
All the way.
Gotta be.
Gotta be.
Rough and tough.
Rough and tough.
Able.
Able.
Every day.
Every day.
We run.
We run.
To the sun.
To the sun.
Airborne.
Airborne.
All the way.
All the way.
I got sunshine on a cloudy day, and when it's cold outside, I got the month of May. I guess you'd say, what can make me feel this way, my girl? I'm talking about my girl, my girl. I've got so much honey, I've got a sweeter song, baby, than the birds in the trees.
Wow, that was pretty awesome. The 82nd Airborne Division All-American Chorus performing on America's Got Talent. I got to tell you, it's great to watch this show because you're reminded of that there's a lot of great patriots out there in America, and the crowd just loved it. Again, our hands are off to the great 82nd Airborne Division All-American Chorus from North Carolina, representing 19,000 men and women that support the Airborne Division. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. God bless those young people. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. You're with us today, and hope you are doing well wherever you might be across America. How can you not be doing good after hearing that great song from the 82nd Airborne, right? Well, there is a very strange story unfolding in Grand Traverse, Michigan. This is really disturbing, where the town has a national cherry festival every year, and they have a parade. And young people get to march in the parade. And so the Teens for Life, which is the local pro-life group, just asked, they submitted all the paperwork to be a part of the parade, as they had done in years past. But this year, their participation was revoked at the last minute. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us Emily Hollibaugh, who is the Director of Operations for the Grand Traverse Area Right to Life. Emily, thanks for coming on the program today.
Hi, thank you for having us.
All right. Well, I want you to tell our listeners what happened here when the teens wanted to join this parade.
Yes, well, you described it very well. So we had gotten approval back in May to be part of the Cherry Festival as the Teens for Life. And the night before the parade, we were reached after 8 p.m. that night. Finally, they spoke to us between 10 and 11 p.m. that night and revoked our parade approval. We were given the reason that it was because of the executive director of the parade, of the National Cherry Festival, receiving a backlash of phone calls, including threatening phone calls, that prompted her to make that decision.
So let's talk about the threats. They were threatening the director if the kids were allowed to march.
I don't know what the phone calls entailed, but that's what we understood, that they were calling to get us removed from the parade.
Wow. So these people were they were upset that the pro-life teenagers were going to be marching in the parade, so they called to raise a stink.
That's correct.
All right. So the threats were made. I'm wondering, did the committee at that point, did the festival person contact the police department? It seems to me, why take it out on the teenagers? Go after the people that are making the threats.
Yes, and we did clarify that with her twice. Two different people did. And we asked her if she contacted the police, and she told us, yes, she did. So, yes, that was done.
Okay, so you get this telephone call. Now, we understand, and we've got the story up at toddstarns.com, some other news organizations got involved, and then they said, oh, well, this has to do with a clerical error. And then they said, well, no, this was really about the fact that we don't allow any groups that would advocate for an issue or for politics. We don't let them participate in the parade.
Yes, that was their response to the situation. That's correct.
Wow. It's just, you know, pick a reason and stick with it. My goodness.
Right.
Now, what I find interesting here, Emily, is that we've seen some photographs of this parade. And there were people marching that were displaying a transgender flag. There were people that were celebrating and promoting a social justice cause and other issues. So it's kind of curious they would go after you guys.
Yes. So we have evidence and proof of that night of at least two groups that were allowed to walk with visible signs of things that many people would probably deem a political, social, or controversial issue. Like you said, there was some pride gear worn, a trans flag on a banner, and some political and social signs that were displayed. But these groups were allowed to walk on through the Cherry Festival, and we were revoked the night before.
Is there any, and you guys have marched in this parade in the past, is that right?
We have, yes.
Okay, and no problems at all?
No problems as far anything like this. No, nothing's ever happened like this.
My goodness. So what were the kids? Was this just, were they going to be holding a banner? Did they have a float?
So the Teens for Life have a banner, that basically just says Teens for Life, and they wear a nice positive pro-life message on their shirt that says pro-life generation. That was the shirt this year that we got made. They throw Lifesaver candy to the crowd. And all ages can come and walk with us, so sometimes there's parents with little kids, like in wagons, but that's all we do.
I'm hearing you describe this, and it doesn't sound like anything that would be offensive to anybody.
No, we didn't think so. And the thing I'd like to point out is we were approved over a verbal conversation with the parade organizer. Because I described to him exactly what I just described to you, and he asked that we would not be doing anything political, and I told him, no, we wouldn't, and I described what we do, and he gave us the okay to be in the parade and gave us our confirmation,
and that was
back in May.
So here we are in July. What was the reaction from the kids? They had to have been disappointed.
They were disappointed. I was getting a few texts from some of them that I know, and they were just, like, shocked. I mean, they were wondering why they were removed. And obviously disappointed. It's such a fun time for them. And a lot of them come with us in March. So, yes, very, very disappointing for everyone.
Emily, what do you think's really going on here?
Well, it seems to be what keeps happening in our country all around, selective enforcement. But it only seems to be towards conservative pro-life groups. That's usually what I've been seeing through, you know, news stories in this entire country. And it's always the groups that oppose us that have to get us kicked out of things.
Well, it's just unacceptable, and I'm wondering what the response has been in the community, and are anybody going to try to make this right? I mean, the parade is over now, so what happens now?
Yeah, the National Cherry Festival is over as of Saturday. We've had a ton of great support to us here at the office, you know, phone calls, emails. We have a great community, a pro-life community here as well, and we're so thankful to them. And we just ask that everybody keep spreading this story with the facts and the truth about what actually happened. And just to support our organization and our events. And, that's mainly.
All right. Well, Emily, that's what we're going to do here. And we appreciate you coming on the program today. Keep us updated. Are you going to try to march in next year's parade?
We don't know that right now.
Well, I wouldn't give up. I'd go ahead and fill out the paperwork, and I'd call them out on it. I sure would. If the gay kids are going to be able to march, then the pro-life teens ought to be able to march, too. That's what I say.
Thank you.
All right. Emily Hollaball, ladies and gentlemen, Director of Operations for the Grand Traverse Area Right to Life. Can you believe that? Banning the children from participating in the National Cherry Festival Parade, even though they had gone through all of the procedures, all of the process, they had been approved to march, they yanked the kids at the last hour, but meanwhile, they let the pro-gay groups march in the parade. It's pretty pathetic. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. By the way, you can read the story about that on toddstearns.com. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Well, you know, Fox, or rather Newsmax, has been keeping track of the indictment and all of the attacks on President Trump. And every night, Newsmax has been covering this with their incredible lineup, Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, and Chris Plant, giving you the truth every single night on Newsmax. And that's why Americans are turning to Newsmax for the real news you can trust. And Newsmax wants you to vote in their brand new national poll. They're talking about Trump's indictment, and they want to get your opinion. So text the word Trump to 39747. That's Trump to 39747, and you can vote right away. Make sure your voice is heard. Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. So be sure to tune in for the latest on President Trump and the 2024 presidential race. And be sure to vote in that poll. Text the word Trump right now to 39747. All right, folks, by the way, when you go and read our story about the kids, the pro-life teens getting banned from the National Cherry Festival Parade, reach out to the National Cherry Festival and let them know how you feel about that. We gotta light a fire under these folks. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868, Susie in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Susie, what's going on today?
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, good. I just wanted to brag on you. Hey, I saw you on Newsmax, and you're looking really well. And I hope you're feeling good these days.
Well, I am, Susie, and I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun. I will tell you that the folks at Newsmax, very kind people, a great team of folks, and they made it super, super easy for me.
And that speech you gave, Todd, that was wonderful.
Oh, at the Faith and for the Road to the Majority conference.
Yes, Todd, it was just wonderful. I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you, Susie. I appreciate that.
You're the same age as my oldest son, so I can make a connect with you. You know.
you don't sound that old, Susie. I got to tell you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Todd. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Now, were you there or did you watch the speech?
No, I heard you. I heard it.
Oh, very nice.
Played it.
That's right.
It was just wonderful, Todd. That's all I got to say. It was just wonderful.
Well, Susie, I appreciate that. And that speech actually is really the basis for the new book coming out in March. And
good. I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, I think you're going to enjoy it. I'm not ready to release the name of it just yet. We're going to wait until I think pre-orders are coming up very soon. But I can tell you, I'm really excited about it. It was a fun book to write, and I was pretty inspired. It's very hopeful. So I'll leave it at that.
Listen. Let me tell you this, and I'll hush. I've been super blessed with green beans this summer, and I have been triple blessed with Japanese beetles.
Oh, so is that a good thing? I'm not a very big gardener.
Japanese beetles are these little hard shell bugs, Todd. They eat all the leaves off of your green beans.
Uh-oh. Is that good?
No, it's bad.
Oh, it's bad. Okay, that's what I was getting at. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to hear that. What?
Yeah, I've been catching them in this gallon bucket, put water in there and some Dawn dish detergent, and hold it under the leaves and knock them off in there, and they drown.
Well, you got to do what you got to do to protect the green beans.
Right. All right, Todd. You take care. You keep up the good work, and I'm proud of you.
Well, Susie, you're kind to say that. Thank you. And, man, I could go for some green beans. There's nothing better than fresh green beans right out of the garden. You know what I mean, folks? I mean, it really doesn't get much better. Did I tell you? I did tell you yesterday, but I am still digging that tomato sandwich. I got one of those delicious heirloom tomatoes, and I had a good old-fashioned summertime tomato sandwich. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. You know, it's interesting that Susie mentioned looking good on the TV. Well, I have to give credit where credit is due, and that is our good friends over at Calotrin. Calotrin is America's number one choice for healthy weight loss and a whole heck of a lot more. And I have been taking Calotrin for, gosh, well over a month now. And I got to tell you something. I really love Calotrin. This is not some sort of a quick fix weight loss thing at all. As a matter of fact, it takes time. And you don't want to lose the weight super quick. Otherwise, it's just going to pile right back on. And I don't want that to happen. So, I do eat mayonnaise on my tomato sandwich, but I just eat one tomato sandwich and not two. So I'm cutting back. And thanks to Calotrin, it's really working out very well. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of other side benefits of taking Calotrin. I'm sleeping about 7 or 8 hours a night now, which I had not been doing. And also, my knees are not as creaky as they used to be, and I really appreciate that. So anyway, if you'd like information, give them a call, 1-800-325-4366. That's 1-800-325-4366. Or you can go to their website, which is toploss.com. That's toploss.com. Now, use my promo code Todd, and if you're talking to somebody, tell them, yeah, Todd Stearns was talking about this. I'm telling you, folks, it really is working, and I think it would work for you as well. Give them a call. The best part about it all, there is absolutely no drugs involved, and it's 100% stimulant-free, and I know that you're going to appreciate that. All right, let's go to the phones real quick here. Bill in North Carolina, listening to us on WSJS. Bill, what's going on?
Well, Todd, it's better to be seen than viewed, first of all.
This is truth.
But secondly, I just want to give you a warm welcome to Mount Airy, as we always call Little Mayberry, from the Andy Griffith Show.
Bill, I've been to Mount Airy, and I've been to the museum, and the only thing I haven't done yet is drive around in the squad car, and I want to do that when I get there tonight.
Well, they should have one there. There's also a place up in Franklin, North Carolina. It's a large consignment place. They had two reconditioned Ford Galaxies for the Mayberry card.
Is that right?
But yeah. So you know, anybody got an old 60 Ford Galaxy somewhere, you could turn it into a Barney Fife movie.
Well, it is so much fun. So you live in Mount Airy?
No, sir. I live in High Point, which is just kind of southeast of Mount Airy.
Right.
It's not far.
Very nice.
So,
well,
I'm you're going to be there at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's right, Bill. Bring the family. Come on down. And it's going to be a fun night.
It sounds like it. And I'm hoping, you know, such short notice. I just heard it today. So depending on my wife's schedule, you know, I would see if we can't make it up there. Maybe I get a chance to shake your hand and say hello to you in person.
Well, I'd be honored to. That'll be a lot of fun. Now, I do know this. The hotel they're putting me up in, there's a Biscuitville, like right next mm-hmm. door. So I'm going to be, when I'm not speaking, I'm going to be over at Biscuitville. So
that's a good place to be.
Yeah, I got it. I said you have to make some time on the schedule. I got to have an appointment at Biscuitville. That's it.
There you go.
All right. Well,
go ahead. Call you. Make your reservation. I think they can work you in.
I love it, Bill. I'm excited. Right. So I hope to be able to meet you and your wife. And again, that's at 6 o'clock. They're at the Wesleyan Church there in Mount Airy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bill, appreciate that call. And want to thank all of our great listeners, especially on WSJS, broadcasting all over of the great state of North Carolina. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking to our good friend Congressman Jason Smith out of Missouri. He is on a House Ways and Means Committee, and he's got some concerns and some demands regarding the FBI and these whistleblowers. So we're going to check in with him on that. Also, I've asked our good buddy Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL to call in. There's a lot of controversy brewing over this Tucker Carlson, the Blaze Glenn Beck town hall or forum that's happening on Friday. So Jeff Stein knows everything about politics. Before it happens in Iowa, Jeff Stein knows about it. I mean, he's really that good. So we're going to look forward to having a conversation from him as well. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break here. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com. Check out all of our great stories, our live show blog. If you'd like information on joining us tomorrow night, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, Nikita Koloff, the great professional wrestler, and yours truly. We're going to be body slamming liberals. It's going to be a lot of fun in North Carolina. All right, stick around, everybody. Hour three of the big show coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, all you beautiful people out there. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. You know, I'm excited about this event tomorrow. I didn't realize that Nikita Koloff was going to be there. So anyway, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, this is a free event sponsored by the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition. It's going to be at Mount Airy Wesleyan Church. The Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, will be there. Nikita Koloff, Hall of Fame professional wrestler, and yours truly. We are the trio of speakers as a part of the Bold and Courageous Tour, and it starts tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, in Mount Airy, North Carolina, which is, of course, home to Mayberry. But anyway, I'm assuming it's a political thing. Otherwise, I could come home with a broken appendage. I don't know. I don't want to get body slammed. NCFaithAndFreedom.com is the website. That's NCFaithAndFreedom.com. The event is free, but tickets are required for entry. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from the great state of Missouri, representing the 8th Congressional District, our good friend Congressman Jason Smith, who also serves on the House Ways and Means Committee, and he is chairman of that committee. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Doing great. It's great to be with you, sir.
All right, Congressman, a lot going on. Of course, tomorrow we are expecting the big hearings involving the FBI. And there's been a lot of concern that these IRS whistleblowers, and we had Congressman Jim Jordan on in the last hour, very concerned about the retaliation. What are you hearing, and what concerns do you have?
You know, we have a lot of concerns. Of course, these two whistleblowers came to us at the Ways and Means Committee because of the what they call Statute 6103, is where when you talk about private taxpayer information. Only the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee or the chairman of the Finance Committee over on the Senate side can authorize them to disclose to you. And that's how we got this information, and that's how things are moving. Unfortunately, just a couple weeks after these two IRS investigators came to us whistleblowing at the Ways and Means Committee. They both claim that they have been retaliated against right now at the IRS, whether it's through the Department of Justice or the IRS. One claims that the Department of Justice removed them from the investigative team that both of them had been a part of since 2018. There's numerous examples of retaliation that they're claiming that we're going to have to get down to the bottom of. That's why Senator Grassley, myself, Congressman Jordan and Comer, and Senator Johnson has asked for the folks to look into the retaliation in regards to these whistleblowers.
Well, it's got to, and we've got to get to the bottom of this. This weaponization of the federal government, and especially the FBI, which, at least from my vantage point here, Congressman, and correct me if I'm wrong, it just seems to me like this is meant to silence people and to really bully them into silence by knocking on the doors of the pro-lifers and going after the moms and dads. It's really got to stop.
It absolutely has to stop. We need to be a welcome zone for folks who need to whistleblow of things that they see that's being done wrong in their government. The weaponization that these IRS whistleblowers have highlighted is so alarming, especially when you talk about the investigation with Hunter Biden and where they claim the Department of Justice delayed the investigation, where they divulged information to Hunter Biden's attorneys. For example, they highlighted an example of they were wanting a search warrant for Hunter Biden's storage unit in Northern Virginia. However, those prosecutors then divulged that information to Hunter Biden's lawyers before they ever got the search warrant. Those kind of instances has been a mess. And then, of course, the whistleblowers are saying that the prosecutor there in Delaware was denied the ability to bring charges in Washington, D.C. and in California, which is counter to what the Attorney General of the United States has claimed before Senate committees.
Congressman, I want to play some audio. This is from a colleague of yours, our good friend Congressman Pat Fallon, and he says the White House may already have the fingerprints and know who left that cocaine in the White House.
So, you know, now we're hearing that you all aren't going to get any information on this investigation until later in the month. If the cocaine was found on a bag, doesn't it have fingerprints on it? And how long would it take to answer that question? Weeks? Days? Well, hours? Half an hour?
You know, that's just, Martha, that's a great question, because I asked several down in Texas. I asked some of our state troopers, Texas Rangers and sheriffs, those kind of people who do this for a living for decades. And they all said to me that on very porous surfaces like bags and envelopes, you'll be able to determine within an hour if there's fingerprints on it. Within an hour. By my math, we're 192 hours from the time it was discovered. And yet we don't know, because if there was no fingerprints, they could have told us immediately. So I suspect there are fingerprints, and you can run it through a database. And this was found where high-level aides and staffers are. So most of them were fingerprinted at one time or another. So they very well may already know who it belongs to and aren't sharing with us. And that's my greatest concern and worry.
So, Congressman, what's your greatest concern and worry over this?
I mean, it's my concern that the Biden administration has turned the White House into a frat house. Whether it's the cocaine that was found there at the White House or whether it was individuals showing themselves topless outside of the White House on White House grounds, that's absolutely unacceptable. What I will tell you is, for the numerous times that I have been in the White House, there's cameras everywhere. I have no doubt that this White House, this administration, knows where that cocaine came from. That is one of the most controlled, monitored homes in the entire country. It has to be one of three people. Because of where it was found, it has to either be the president, it has to be either the president's family members, or it has to be someone who works for the president. It has to be one of those three. And unfortunately, the White House doesn't want to allow the American public to say who it is when they know they have the cameras identifying who the people are. They don't need fingerprints. Look at the camera.
Are your colleagues at all on the other side of the aisle, do they acknowledge privately at least that something's not quite right over there at the White House?
Well, anybody who watches the president on TV knows that it's not quite right over there. So it's a lot of concern. There's someone else that's running everything over there, and that's why we need to get down to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I'm with you, Congressman, and we really appreciate the great work you are doing up on Capitol Hill. And, of course, we got a lot of work to do. And the good news here is, as Congressman Jordan said earlier, you guys control the power of the purse strings, and that is something not to be reckoned with.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, our partnership in this investigation with Jim Jordan, with Jamie Comer, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're following the facts, and you betcha we're going to use the appropriations process to make sure that Congress is the true power of the purse.
All right. Congressman Jason Smith, we're going to leave it there, representing Congressional District 8 there in the great state of Missouri. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right. There you have it. I really do hope that when push comes to shove, and trust me, it is about to when the debt ceiling debate comes back up, that the Republicans do hold the line. We've got to. I mean, this is the power that the Republicans have as the majority party in your House of Representatives. All right. Oh, by the way, John Kerry, remember him? John Kerry now says that the problem with war in Ukraine is not climate change, but the bombs. Cut number 12.
Lots of parts of the world are exacerbating the problem right now. But when you have bombs going off and you have damage to septic tanks or to power centers, et cetera, you have an enormous release of greenhouse gas, of methane, of, you know, all of the family of greenhouse gases. And the result is it's adding to the problem. I'm not, you know, believe me. That's the fight in Ukraine is a fight that we have to make, that the world has to make. The values at stake are enormously important to all of us. So I'm not suggesting by any fashion that this is not a fight we shouldn't be involved in. But I am saying that there are ancillary impacts as a result of it.
All right. There you go. So, you know, we used to have a joke. There was a joke when I lived in New York City, across from the city, you had New Jersey, and there was a lot of marshland over there. And as a result of that, sometimes there would be rather interesting odors that would permeate the air in Manhattan. And one day in particular, there was a noxious odor. And I asked one of my colleagues, and I said, "Oh my gosh, what is that horrible smell?" And the guy didn't even look at me. He just kept on walking. He said, "It's New Jersey. That's what that smell is." So anyway, who knew? I guess the smell over in Ukraine is all the septic tanks getting blown up by the Russians. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. By the way, today is, believe it or not, National Cow Appreciation Day. And I just want to say right out of the gate, I appreciate the cow that gave its life so that I could eat a delicious hamburger at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse the other day. I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you. I truly do. By the way, if you haven't been to Ruth's Chris, it's a great restaurant. But if you want a great burger, I'm telling you, go to Ruth's Chris. They put together a delicious hamburger. And I know my good buddy Harry Hurley gives me a hard time about this, but Harry Hurley is the host of WPG Radio in Atlantic City, and Harry used to be in the casino business. Great guy. Everybody on the boardwalk knows Harry Hurley. And the guy he is sort of like a celebrity in Atlantic City. And so anyway, Harry was doing a big charity event and invited me to come and be the guest speaker. Had a great time. Put me up at, I believe it was the Resorts Casino. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was the Resorts. Sent a limo to New York City. And if you could imagine the scene, Hannity, all these guys, look, and there's a big stretch limo pulls up, and it's for yours truly. So I took the limo down to Atlantic City, and they put me up in the hotel, had my own butler. Oh, it was an amazing. It was amazing. Had a butler. And they're asking all, and I'm not a very pretentious person. You know, I prefer to, the guy was like, sir, when would you like your coffee, sir? And I'm like, well, I can make my own coffee. Sir, that's not how we do things here, sir. And finally, I go to dinner, and we are at Gallagher's, great steakhouse in Atlantic City. They also have one in New York City, I believe over at West Broadway and West 49th or 50th, somewhere over in that area. Anyway, it's a great steak. And if you go to the one in New York City, tell them Todd Stearns said to eat there because they'll give you a good seat. I used to eat there a lot when I was back at Fox. So anyway, I get there, and instead of the steak, I said, I just want a hamburger. That was it. I just wanted a hamburger. I'm a hamburger kind of a guy. So it was very good. So all that to say, I appreciate you, Cal's. Does Chick-fil-A do the, do you get like a free sandwich if you dress like a cow today? Is that today? I didn't see anybody in the office dressing like a cow, and normally somebody does because they want the free sandwich. Anyway, this story from Good Morning America. A California-based nonprofit is using cow-hugging therapy to help people cope with stress. This is apparently a thing now where people are showing up at farms and they're asking the farmers, may I hug your cow? No, I'm not making this up. Animals are candid, loyal companions. That's according to the founders of the Gentle Barn. And cows can give humans emotional support through tough moments in life. Okay, well, so can a dog do that? You need a cow? Like a full-grown cow? Quote, if someone needs healing, the cows wrap them in a really good hug with their necks. Cows are very centered, grounded, and immersed in the present time, and they help us do the same. Really? Is that true? Are the cows really thinking at that level? Or is it maybe just like, holy crap, I'm probably going to be a cheeseburger on that guy's plate? I mean, if I was a cow, that's what I'd be thinking. Anyway, the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, they say that close interaction with other animals can increase happiness and reduce stress. Now, I believe this. One of the reasons, you know, we haven't heard from in ages. Where is the goat lady, right? Remember the live goat cam lady? She used to call in all the time. And those goats, man, just watching the goats. I'll never forget this. One day, Jerry the Liberal from Milwaukee calls me up and was giving me the what for. I got my blood pressure was going up. And Miss Janice or Miss Carlotta from Rhode Island called in and said, Todd, don't let your blood pressure get out of control. And so it goes even higher. And somebody says, you got to watch the goats. And I'm like, the goats. Spent an entire commercial break watching goats. I felt much better. So, yeah, I guess I believe this. The CDC also has a warning for all you cow huggers out there. It's important to be aware that farm animals can sometimes carry harmful germs that can cause a variety of illnesses. Yeah, have you seen some of the people riding the subway in New York City? I think I'll take my chances with the cow. One of the best ways to protect yourself from getting sick is to thoroughly wash your hands right after handling farm animals, their supplies, or anything in the areas where they live and they roam. By the way, are you one of these people? Are you they say that hugging cows can help with mental health. Is this true? Do we have any cow huggers in the audience? We've got to get some firsthand experience on this. But anyway, I want to give away a copy of our daily biscuit devotions with a drawl. You say, Todd, what does that have to do with cows? Well, you put butter on a biscuit, and where does the butter come from? Not only that, it's a great question. The top 10 states based on the number of milk cows. This is a great question. You got to name at least two of the top 10 states that have milk cows. And it's really a surprising I will say this. I was surprised to see Kansas was not on that list. You guys don't have a lot of cows in Kansas. So if you can name at least two of the top 10 milk cow producing states, give us a call, and we've got a copy of my book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Draw. Our number is 844-747-8868. Iowa is not on the list either, by the way. That's 844-747-8868. The top 10 states, according to the population of their milk cows. You got to name two and you're going to get a book. No, Kansas and Iowa, I'm not going to go any further. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got Jeff Stein from Iowa coming up, plus your calls. Start a dialing. We'll be right back. All right, the entire state of Maine is on hold right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. Before we go to the phones, just want to pass along some information to our listeners in the beautiful state of Vermont. I know it's a far left state, but beautiful people, and the Lord did a really nice job on a Creation Day when it came to Vermont. Just beautiful, beautiful area. Man, have they been nailed with the flooding. The capital city is now blocked off. It's completely surrounded by water. Flood water's rising. There is a dam. The Wrightsville Dam only has 6 feet of storage capacity left. If it exceeds that level, they're going to have to release water. That's never happened in the history of the dam. And they're saying a wall of water would be coming into Montpelier. And they say that they're telling people right now, people in the risk area may wish to go to the upper floors of their houses. So that's not good. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on any other, and listen to your radio stations. If you're listening to us in Vermont, they're going to keep you safe and sound. All right, let's go to the phones real quick here. Let's go to Kathy in Maine. Kathy, how are you today?
I am fine.
All right, Kathy.
Hello?
Kathy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right, here we go. Here is the question. We need to know, Kathy, that at least two of the top 10 states, based on the number of milk cows, give us two states.
Wisconsin.
All right, that's one. All right, you said, whoa, so Wisconsin and New York. Guess what, Kathy? You're a winner. You know your dairy cows.
I'm originally from Wisconsin.
Would you believe that Wisconsin, you want to take a wild guess, the number one, this is just for bonus points, the number one state, Kathy, for dairy cows, and it's not Wisconsin.
California.
Okay. What? Yes, Kathy's right again. What? Do we have something else we can give Kathy? How about a bookmark? Thank you, Dylan. Kathy, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to send you a signed copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Draw, and you tell Ray Richardson we were nice to somebody from the state of Maine.
Okay, I will.
All right. Take care now. Thank you for listening. WLOB, the Big Lobster, our great listeners there. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good buddy Jeff Stein. Jeff, I'm disappointed. Y'all didn't even make the list.
Well, that's because of the Jimmy Carter era policies, Todd, and it helped drive the dairy industry way down. Unfortunately, we have some good folks still fighting the good fight, but always good to talk to you.
Damn Democrats.
If you aren't selling T-shirts at toddsdarns.com with that phrase by the end of the day, my friend, you're missing an opportunity.
Oh, that's actually a great idea. Thank you, Jeff Stein. I love it. Wow. So, look, we were chatting off air, and I thought we got to get you on the show. I know you're going to be filling in this week when I'm gone, but yes. I wanted you to explain what's going on with this forum, because you're really using it as an opportunity to bash Donald Trump.
Well, I am a big fan of capitalism, as you and the listeners know, and I have no problem with someone coming in to sponsor an event. But this is taking on really interesting parameters. First of all, we're talking about an event that is annually held by a group known as the Family Leader. Now, this group has been around 25 years or so, originally one of Dr. James Dobson's local organizations. It is now called the Family Leader. It is run by a fellow named Bob Vanderplaats. They have done tremendous work in terms of promoting faith and integrating faith in politics. Mr. Vanderplaats was one of Ted Cruz's national co-chairs in the 2016 race. Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucuses, folks may not recall. That's when Donald Trump finished second. So the leader of the Family Leader has not always been in the Trump corner. In fact, he has been outside the ring much more than inside. So they are having this Family Leadership Summit, and they invited Tucker Carlson to come. Now, Mr. Carlson had been there as a speaker in the past, and they thought it would be a great thing for Tucker Carlson to interview presidential candidates there on the stage in front of the audience. The audience that, by the way, is paying anywhere from $99 per ticket to $349 per ticket for admittance. You and I are missing out, my friend. We need to put something together, even $50 a throw. I'll share with you. But in any event, they invited not the entire Republican field, but they invited certain ones, including President Trump. Well, Mr. Vanderplaats has said recently, as you have pointed out, I believe, that Donald Trump is not in the right place on the issue of abortion, and so therefore he should not be returned to office. Well, they invited him to the event anyway. He is not attending, and who could blame him? But instead, you're going to have people named DeSantis, Pence, Scott, Ramaswamy, and Haley showing up to be questioned by Tucker Carlson, to get their talking points out, and it is going to be all aimed at Donald Trump. You just know that it is, because these folks, and this is their path, right? They have got to find a way to get at the front runner. DeSantis has not broken out of the pack. Ramaswamy has almost overtaken him in a recent national poll. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how they distinguish themselves from number 45 on this key issue of life, because that's the number one focus of this organization. And I have to say, Todd, who was the president that nominated and got confirmed three Supreme Court justices, just enough necessary to overturn Roe?
And the only president in American history to actually stand in front of the March for Life crowd in Washington, D.C. So I hear where Vanderplaats and all those guys, is it Plaats? I've always thought it was Platts. My apologies. I've been mispronouncing the poor guy's name. That's why he probably doesn't return my calls.
That's the reason.
It's got to be. Have we been able to determine, though, I mean, is that going to have that much of an impact if Vanderplaats and his group is opposed to Trump?
No, certainly not. And the reason is because they are fragmenting the anti-Trump vote, right? I mean, you don't have anywhere close to 50% of non-Trump people. And so even if there was one candidate that this group got behind, that person is going to top out at best, I would say, 30%. And none of them are near that right at this point. Now, here's another reason why this is not going to matter much. In the past, this event got a lot of news coverage. Well, this week, and this is memorialized in a news release that came out late yesterday, Blaze Media, this is the Glenn Beck organization, they are now the summit media sponsor. And there shall not be a live stream nor live broadcast of the summit permitted unless you've purchased a license fee, or for most folks, purchased a subscription to Blaze TV. And so Mr. Beck is now promoting that he and his team will be there, and they'll be live on the YouTube channel, and you'll get a link if you're a member of Blaze TV, and you're going to be the only people who can see this. And oh, by the way, at the end of the day, now Glenn Beck is going to conduct a one-on-one interview with Tucker Carlson on the stage, and it is going to be everyone just have a kumbaya moment, apparently. But this just all broke this week, and I have a feeling the folks at RAV are not very happy because they're the folks who tend to show up and put these things on the television.
Yeah, I could imagine so. And if I were a candidate, I'd be asking for a cut of the profits if you're going to be making money on you know Trump would have done that.
Oh, absolutely. And again, as I said, I'm a capitalist. If the organization can get money from a, quote, media sponsor who then blacks out all other live streams. Now, you could cover it. I could go down and use snippets, or I could interview people on the side. But they have made this a made-for-TV event, and they are billing it now on the TV side as the first forum of the presidential season. Now, to me, a forum is where they're all on the stage at the same time, and that's not really what this is, but branding is everything, is it not?
So this is really the 30-second sit-down interviews that these guys have had, because that's what it basically is. Tucker Carlson is going to be interviewing these guys.
Absolutely, and at best, there are six attending. Out of my list has 14 candidates. And they were talking about this on the radio on that other program today and saying, well, we understand maybe Trump won't be there now. Boy, we sure hope that he is there because everyone is going to be there. Well, no, everyone's not going to be there. Not everyone was even invited. And to your excellent tweet earlier today, if the organization says they're against you, why would you show up other than the fact that you could probably tie them in knots? And I have nothing against the organization, but it just seems like this has quickly become a pay-per-view UFC, well, not UFC, they're in favor of Trump, a pro wrestling event. This is Vince McMahon stuff, Todd.
Sure is. Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL Waterloo, Iowa, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff, I'm curious also the relationship between President Trump and your great governor, Kim Reynolds, what do you know? The national media is saying there's some bad blood there. What can you tell us?
The president has posted saying, hey, Kim Reynolds is now neutral. That's a betrayal because I supported her when she was running. Well, there is a distinction. He supported her in a general election, not in a primary. And this is a primary and caucus season, and all of the Iowa office holders, from the governor to the U.S. senators to members of Congress, they have said, look, we are not going to endorse candidates. We have the first in the nation caucus. We want an open field. We want a fair contest. And so we're not going to endorse anyone. And Mr. Trump has taken offense to the fact that the governor will not endorse him. Well, she's not endorsing anyone. And I'd have to tell you from, not that the Trump people need my advice, let her be neutral on this. And by the way, I think the governor is going to join me on your program when I'm in the air chair on Thursday. We're working that out now. But if she is not playing favorites and he runs away with it, that's a much bigger win than if she is the top statewide office holder, casts an endorsement. That could look like it's tainting the pool. He's better off with it being open, come in here like gangbusters. It's going to mean more, at least in my view.
I have to imagine somebody told the president this is what's happening without understanding the nuances of everything. And, you know, again, this goes back to who do you surround yourself with? So, but again, I like Governor Reynolds. She's great. I think she'd make a terrific running mate for the president. Maybe you should ask her that on the show on Thursday.
She will be talking about the special legislative session going on at this moment in Des Moines where they're voting on a heartbeat bill, and she'll talk about education savings accounts, which Iowa just enacted to record response, and I bet I slip in a question about a running mate.
I love it. I think that's terrific. I want to hear what she says about Trump. This is going to be a fun interview.
I have a feeling. Well, it'll be the last time I ever speak with her, but no, I have a feeling that... Well, it's for the greater good.
Take one for the team, Stein.
I do every day, my friend. No, I think she'll say that, you know. That
is this payback for the cow comment? That's not my fault. It's the Democrats. It's Jimmy Carter.
No. I do not blame the messenger. No, this, look, it's a matter of, do you want to have a wide open process? And that's what she'll say. She'll say the president is tremendous, and anybody who gets out of this with the nomination is going to be better than Joe Biden, and it's not her role. And frankly, Very few times have any elected officials in Iowa made endorsements in a caucus, because the idea was we want a fair playing field. And that's the main idea. But sure, make sure to have Dylan and Grace remind me if I don't ask these questions on Thursday.
We'll keep you honest. All right, Jeff Stein from the Heartland radio station KXEL, the mighty blowtorch of the that's a huge signal you guys have there.
50,000 clear channel watt, 50,000 watts, clear channel station. Boy, if I could talk for a living, I'd be dangerous. Washington State to Washington, D.C., and everywhere in between.
Wow, I love that. Oh, that's a great line. All right, Jeff Stein, appreciate you. Looking forward to you filling in later this week, and we appreciate all your great insight into Iowa politics.
It is always a privilege to connect, sir. Have a great day.
All right, folks. First in the nation. If you don't know it, and Jeff Stein doesn't know it, then you don't need to know it, if that makes any sense. He's the smartest guy I know when it comes to politics, and he's been covering this for a very long time. All right, we got to step out for a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. This situation in Vermont is really insane, and it's part of a massive storm system that caused all sorts of chaos in Pennsylvania and New York State. Now Vermont is under siege, and from what we understand, the police department is telling people it's too late to evacuate. There are people that are trying to be rescued from homes, but the entire capital city is underwater right now. And we've got videos. We posted a video on the Facebook page and also our Instagram. And we'd love for you to go and follow us on Instagram. We're doing a lot more with video and things of that nature there now. But it's really jaw-dropping. It's the sort of flooding you would think that you would see after, say, a hurricane or something of that nature. It's very unusual for this part of the country. But anyway, the police department putting out a statement. It turns out that the dam at the reservoir only had about 6 feet of storage this morning. Now it's down to about 1 foot. And if the water exceeds that capacity, then they're going to have to open up the spillways. And that water will just inundate Montpelier, which is the beautiful capital city. They're telling people you may want to go ahead and head onto the upper floors of your house if you are in the flood zone, which appears to be a very large area. And again, we've got a lot of video. We're going to be posting that on our website as well, toddstearns.com. Just a reminder for you folks in North Carolina, tomorrow I will be speaking at a massive event at the Wesleyan Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. It starts at 6 o'clock. We have all of the information on our live show blog at toddstearns.com. Grace put all the info there. I'll be speaking Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson and also the pro wrestler Nikita Koloff, and we'd love for you to be there. We're going to have some great fill-in host. Jeff Stein's going to be filling in this week, and we really appreciate that. I'll be back in the anchor chair on Friday, but it's hard to get a direct flight to Greensboro, and then we drive over from there. But we're going to have a lot of fun and can't wait to meet so many of our great North Carolina listeners there at the Faith and Freedom celebration event tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. All right, folks, it's been a lot of fun, and I want to thank our great team here. We will keep you updated on the story out of Vermont, which is insane. Pray for those good people. Also, the podcast, be sure to download that. If you missed the interview with Jim Jordan, you need to go back and listen to that. The congressman lays out the reasons why he wants to move the FBI headquarters to Huntsville, Alabama. And it makes a whole heck of a lot of sense to me. All right, I am packing up, out of here, heading over to Memphis International. I'm sure I'm going to get pulled aside for the special you-know-what. It happens. What are you going to do? All right, folks, you get out there, have a great day, and you be good, America.